And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 44, Comic News.
Okay.
And I am Chris Mosby.
Yes, you are.
Yes, yes, Cam. I am.
Anybody who says differently is itching for a fight. I'm Caleb Gerard. Not itching for fights.
No. Okay. Good to know. And who else is here?
I'm here. I'm Murray.
Are you sure?
I'm totally here.
And take the professor and Marianne.
That is right.
Yep, and a couple of dogs hanging out here in the studio with me. Gosh. All right, anyway.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's so cute. Yes, today will be a comic news episode. We got a lot of stuff out there that's come up and stuff and things. I know we're behind on the AVX stuff. I've kind of lost track of it. I was out last week in training in a foreign city of Memphis. And I'm just behind on all that crap. So
did you get all your shots before you went?
Yeah, I did actually. I had plenty of shots on Tuesday night.
Okay.
That's another story. And I live to tell about it. But anyway, yeah, so a lot of stuff happened. The biggest being the finally officially introducing DC Comics did on the 8th, this is the 10th, a couple of days ago, that they are going to do in September a whole 0 months for their new 52 thing. So every issue is going to have a number zero. And according to the quote here, in September 2012, DC Comics releases zero issues. And we don't mean we aren't publishing any titles, but what we will be doing is numbering every DC Comics, the new 52, title number zero. Number zeros, so, yes.
Are those in place of 13, or is it going to be zero and then October will be 13?
Yeah, it'll be September zero and October is 13.
Okay, just to be clear, okay.
Unless there was like second wave and then there's four new comic series, which we'll get to, those will be number ones.
Or third wave. Right. Okay.
Yeah, the third wave. So yeah, and the rest of it says number zeros will be standalone. Some issues will be tell the origins of character or a team, or in some case where an origin has already been told, it will fill in the blanks in terms of questions readers may have about the new 52 DC Universe, says Bob Harris, DC Entertainment Editor-in-Chief. Each of these issues promises to reveal something surprising. Now, also, as I just mentioned, and a little bit more detail, also will be debuting at number zero are four new comic book series. Got a little tongue-tied there. Okay, first is Talon. Co-writers Scott Snyder and James Trinian IV, artist Guillaume March. It's the description. Meet Calvin Rose, the only Talon to ever escape the grasp of the Court of Owls. The former assassin of the court is trying to live a normal life, but that's impossible when he's being hunted by his former masters. Okay. As much as I like the Court of Owls stuff, I'm not sure if that's interesting or not. It might be. It's somewhat Batman-ish. But, you know, we'll see.
Why didn't they just call it Azrael and get it over with?
Yeah, no kidding. It is kind of like that, isn't it? So that, I'm wondering, does that mean he escaped before he became undead? Or, I don't know. I don't remember all the names of all the Talons that have been around so far, because they gave names to some of them. As a matter of fact, that might be the one that was in, I don't remember the issue, but anyway. Next up on the list.
I know which one you may be referring to here, because I didn't read that many of the Night of Owls crossover, so it was either one in Batman or the one in Batman and Robin. So
yeah, I can't remember which one. Because they did. Well, anyway, yeah. I'll tell you what, that Legends, the Dark Knight one, it's like, oh, the Return of Red Robin. He was on one damn panel. What a bunch of crap. Well, I mean, I was going to read all of them anyway, but, you know, maybe I might do an episode of that later. But anyway, next up, Sword of Sorcery. And a big surprise, featuring the return of, writer Christy Marks, artist Aaron Lopresti. Christy Marks, which is, I don't recognize that name. I think somebody said something about her doing something. I don't remember what it was.
She was a cartoon writer, Gem.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Gem cartoon. Okay. Uh-huh. Featuring the return of Amethyst. Woo-hoo! Yay! I wasn't a big fan, but I know a lot of people were. Amy Winston leads a strange life on the road with her mother and resents it. She's about to learn it's been all been necessary when she discovers she's the lost princess of Gemworld. She's been lost a long time. And she's being hunted by her murderous aunt. I hate it when that happens. With a backup story, okay, that means it's going to be three out there. Yeah. With a backup story written by Tony Bedard and art by Jesus Saez. Saez? Okay. Set in a post-apocalyptic wasteland, we don't have near enough stories about those. The monstrous warrior Beowulf is charged with finding and defeating the evil Grendel. Ooh. Not really sure why they would even do that.
It was a series back in the day.
Oh, that's right. It was, wasn't it? I remember that.
Yeah. Okay. These are not – neither one is an original concept. But
No, not at all. And here's another one, which, you know, anyway, The Phantom Stranger, written by Dan Didio. Why? Give some new writer some work. You're the publisher, Dan. Listen to me. You're the Dan. That's enough. Okay? Come on.
Time for an intervention.
Yes. It's time to stop, dude. Okay? You don't see Jim Lee writing stuff. He's barely even drawn. It's time to step back, let the writers write, and come on, man. Anyway, good news, though, is artist Brett Anderson. I liked his work. Spinning out of his recent appearances in Justice League and DC's Free Comic Book Day story, learn more about the true origin of the Phantom Stranger and his connection to the mysterious Bandora, which is a, you know, chick and, you know, she's got guns. Anyway. Next up,
she's got guns.
She does. They shoot bullets. Oh, not nearly enough.
Someone help me out here. Brent Anderson. Is that Astro City guy?
Yeah, yep. Astro City. And somebody made a comment about that probably meant there wouldn't be any Astro City anytime soon. Well, I've been following Busiek's Facebook feed. He's pretty sick. He's got some kind of gastrointestinal issue, and he's been in and out of the hospital for a while now. So, and that had affected the book once before. So I think he's trying to take it easy. But anyway, he's pretty active on Facebook and posts every once in a while. So, but he's made comments about, you know, eating causing him great pain. So, anyway, so hopefully he's getting better and can give us some more Astro City soon. I'm a big fan of that stuff. And all his other work for that matter. Next up.
Trinity. Are you a fan of Trinity?
Well, yeah. It wasn't, I mean, it was better than Countdown.
Oh, come on. That's setting the bar pretty low.
I mean, okay, it wasn't as good as 52, and, you know, it really didn't have much of a point, but it was still good. I have all the issues.
I've got them all, too. I'm going to have to reread it someday.
I mean, it wasn't horrible. It just didn't have a point, you know? Just put it out just to put out another weekly book. It didn't have any far-reaching, you know, stretch in, you know, like 52 did, you know, plugged into the DC universe. Just a story, pretty much. you know?
Right. I'm going to have to give it a reread someday.
Yeah, me too. Maybe have it bound or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I can't bring myself. I can't. I mean, you know, yeah. I thought about it. Oh, go ahead.
It had a cool logo, though.
Yeah, it did have a pretty cool look. I like how the covers alternated, and every three issues was like a connected thing, and it was cool.
Yeah, and it got vaguely into the DC universe for a little while, so.
Yeah, that didn't last long, did it?
No, but I think his contract was only 2 years anyhow. And anyhow, I'm going off on a tangent. It's just
it's all comics, man. It's all good.
Whoop, whoop.
Raise the roof. The next one up.
Alrighty.
Is called Team 7. Set in the early days of DC Comics, The New 52, the threads of the entire DC universe collide as Superman emerges. So does the world's countermeasures against him and his kind. Now, these names will sound extremely familiar to you, or they may not. Team 7 is comprised of Diana Lance, Amanda Waller, Steve Trevor, John Lynch. I don't recognize that name. Alex Fairchild, Cole Cash, and Slade Wilson. And their story will change everything you know about DC Comics to New 52. Blah, blah, blah. The four new series will follow with issue number ones in October, and other series will resume their numbering. Now, a lot of the news sites had different views. I think it was maybe Newsarama or – no, it was there's an interview with Didio in here. You see most of the covers. The Team 7 cover shows actual Cole with his mask. So I don't know. That should be interesting because they mentioned that in a Justice League in issue.
There was a discussion between Amanda Waller and Steve Trevor about Team 7.
Right. So that's interesting.
But John Lynch is a former Wildstorm character. I think he has some kind of sort of like a Max Lord type powers where he has sort of can subtly control people and stuff. I think.
Okay.
I think.
Good to know.
Yes, we definitely need more Slade Wilson.
Yeah. Well.
That was some sarcasm there.
Yeah, there's conjecture, especially on where was it? The Beat about what was going to get canceled, and you know, there's a lot of tweets from Liefeld on here about his books and you know whatever. And I've dropped a lot of books myself. It's just like Detective, I dropped it. It's not worth the $3.99 price. Couple others, Green Lantern, New Guardians, Blue Beetle, not doing anything for me. They're just okay books. And, you know, just need to cut back. If you're going to get the Beyond Watchmen, I have to do something, you know.
I would take whatever Liefeld says with a grain of salt.
Oh, I know.
Like when Hawk and Dove was not on the chopping block, wasn't he? Like when he was made the writer, director, artist. Oh, yeah. Talking about all the storylines he had going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. I mean, he was given the impression that the book had a long life when mm-hmm. it didn't. So if he's saying that Deathstroke, Hawkman, and Grifter also are long-lived, I don't know about mm-hmm. that. But it also looks like they're not just going by sales numbers for mm-hmm. determining which books to get cut, because Justice League International certainly wasn't one of their lowest books.
No, they're just going to go in another direction with it. Oh, yeah, a bold new direction, I bet. That's just conjecture on my part, but, you know.
We will see.
So I guess that means that they are really going to stick with the 52, not counting miniseries.
Yes, that was in the an article. Where is it? Yeah, they're going to stick with it. And according to Daidio, it was always the goal to always constantly refresh the line. So there's going to be over 52 right now with these four titles being added. And then eventually, from what I read, those will be the rest, the ones that they're going to pare down will be pared down. So there is an actual interview with Daidio and Jim Lee on here that they kind of pretty much say that. So
I think that makes sense, though. Like, it's good to – I think it's good to have, like, a set number in your head so that you're not
–
like, without that 50 – whatever the number they choose to cap the series are at, it's kind of good to have some number in your head so that you're not just flooding the market with issue after issue of stuff that maybe isn't going to work. Like, if you're going to put something out, it makes sense to remove something that maybe isn't doing what you want it to do.
Yeah, because, you know, people only got so much money, so they might – so far, I mean, like, when the second wave came out, they got rid of stuff that I wasn't reading anyway, or I was, you know, it was okay with. I did like OMAC, but –
That's right. No one can be okay with OMAC going –
Yeah, I know.
Nobody.
OMAC's been canceled. OMAC's now been canceled twice.
Yeah, no, yeah, kind of. Yeah, you're right. I admit that once I found out that and Static Shock were canceled, I stopped reading it. So, but which, I'm sticking on Justice, always, huh?
I was just gonna say, which is always one of the big fears when they this news coming out months and months before things happen. It's like, well, the book's not going to be here 4 months from now, so but stick with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I usually do that, but, you know, there was all that other stuff coming out with the AVX, and, I had to do something. So, but anyway, what was I going to say? I lost it. What was I talking about? Crap.
You were talking about you're talking about the new 52.
Right. That's a big help. Thanks. I appreciate it.
You were cutting back, you were buying stuff.
AVX, yeah. So Watchmen. AVX and the before Watchmen stuff, which that Minuteman was really good. But yeah. I mean, you got to do something and keep for the stuff that's really good, because that's kind of what my bar – you know, before it was like, if it's okay, well, I'll keep it around. And Justice League International was okay. I mean, it's not like – of course, what can be like Batman? Batman and Justice League are really good. Batman and Robin, of course. I mean, those are awesome books. And, you know, like Batman has gone up to $3.99 with a backup. Okay, yeah, I'll buy that because it's worth it. And then when they did it with Detective – Tony Daniels' writing is it's okay. And I'm not going to continue buying an okay book at $4. That's just not going to happen anymore.
You heard it here first, folks. Chris, the ultimate Bat fan, is in fact not buying every Bat title anymore.
No, I'm not going to get the Dark Knight either. I thought I was when that new artist writer was coming on, but man, they screwed me with that Red Robin thing, and it just burns my ass. So they're not getting my money.
Chat my head.
Yes, it did. What was the other little thing? Oh yeah, new Batman digital comic series, Legends of the Dark Knight, to debut tomorrow, which that was on the 6th. And they're going to have different writers and artists write it, which one of them is written by Damon Lindelof, the co-creator of Lost and several other really cool movies and TV stuff. So I'll probably be checking it out. It looks like it's going to be, except for when they have an arc, completely rotating artists and writers.
You guys got art Jeff Lemire is doing the art on this arc with Lindelof. Wow.
It's just one. Heard about that. Yeah, it's just one issue. It's 99 cents, so, you know, I'll get them.
Wow. Comicology, here I come. I'm going to go snatch that up.
There's only one come out so far.
Wow, this looks gorgeous. Wow.
I'm not really a big fan of his art, but, you know.
This just looks funky enough that...
it does. It's funky enough to make a good Batman title or story. So, there's an article on it on Comic Book Resources, and of course the actual thing on the Source blog and all that good stuff. So,
I think the big zero issue story though is the single issue that they're going to do the canceled series with. Mm-hmm. They're going to do they're going to do another OMAC story in there, I assume is going to be Giffen in there. I don't remember, did it say?
Let me look here. They did a deal on it, even on USA Today. There is a really good one. I'm looking for it here. I'm going to talk to you about that. They're putting out another DC Universe. DC Universe Presents Number Zero will feature 4 10-page stories that focus on the untold history of Hawk and Dove, OMAC, Mr. Terrific, and Mother Machine, which is a Black Hawk thing, which were all central characters in comics that were canceled in May. So, yeah, that's going to have all that in it.
So that's a good place for it, too.
Yeah, and that's how it should be anyway. We've all talked about that. It's, you know, not 5 issues of Dead Man, and it should be, you know, move a little rotating around. Maybe they, like, realized, you know, that that's what it should be. I don't know if they have or not. But.
Well, what were the other series that were canceled? It was the War Book, and there was something else. I'm blanking now.
There's Blackhawks, Men of War, Static Shock, Mr. Terrific. Oh,
Static Shock is missing.
Yeah, they're not doing all of them, but...
You're right. Static Shock is missing because the war one has got the new monthly anyhow. So
yeah, that's right. It does. So they wouldn't put that in there. But yeah, Static Shock's missing. So
interesting.
Yes, and it talks about this article talks about Trinity War. That'll be around the year and a half mark after the launch of the new 52. So that should start soon in 2013. And, of course, Trinity War, and Lee also indicated that the Trinity War will impact the entire DCU. Big surprise. And that 0 month is part of the publisher getting all the ducks in a row, quote-unquote, before that major event begins.
Uh-huh. We'll see.
Yeah.
I've seen ducks walking, and they rarely walk in a row.
Yeah, they got – then there's pictures all over, you know, depending on where you go, the different Zero issue covers, which is kind of – it's kind of interesting how they did it. They basically got the number one in grayed out and then have the character bust out of it. I kind of like the look of it. So that's the big news right now.
You don't think the big news is Marvel and DC coming out of the closet?
We can talk about that if you want.
No, I'm
kind of like that Gutters comic I saw where it's like they're showing all this stuff on the, USA Today and CNN and blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile, the comic book reader is looking at it and, you know, one of the issues and he's like, who gives a shit? That's kind of how I'm at, you know? Go ahead.
I think most comic readers are probably in that sort of mind frame where it's like, not a big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, and they made it a big deal because they, you know, get attention and, you know, and having it, doing it right after the president, you know, supports gay marriage. I thought that, you know, they basically capitalized on that.
Oh, for sure. And, And they probably should if they want to, like, their marketing department totally should.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Should jump on these things when they come, but.
Mm-hmm. So.
Are you guys being cynical? You sound cynical.
I am a little cynical. They're not. My problem is, did they already have that planned before all the thing with North Star and all that other crap? Did they already have that planned, or did they do it just because?
For Earth 2, I'm sure they've had it planned.
Yeah.
I don't know. Earth 2,
that must have been drawn months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that they planned to do the big media hoopla that they did, but I'm sure it was part of the plan for the book from the beginning. And Robinson is just including it as a, you know, like it's just another story element in the book. It's not a showpiece of the book.
Yeah.
And I didn't look at the North Star wedding thing.
No, I didn't either.
To me, that sounds like it's more of a big splashy showpiece. We've got a 50-50, let's make an event. Whereas, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you want an event for a 50th issue for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the Earth 2, it's part of the fabric of the
right. That's
the story.
That's what I got out of it too. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now the fact that they happen to make a big media whoop whoop about it,
yeah,
is smart on their part. I mean, Marvel. I mean, any time that they can jump on Marvel's story and steal a little bit of the spotlight, I think that's cool.
Well, I mean, Marvel gave out like postcards that look like wedding invitations to comic shops. I mean, I got one around sitting around here somewhere. I mean,
oh, totally.
Yeah, they were way playing it up. But yeah, you're
well, right. And you know what? And they should. I mean, any you know sort of event, they should play up. You know, like
well, now see. That's kind of what I'm talking about. Is the event the 50th issue of whatever title it was, or is the event that they're going to have a gay character get married to another gay man? That's kind of what my problem is.
Lisa's going to marry another gay man. So
this is true.
Yeah, it'd be way more of an event if he were marrying a straight guy.
Yeah,
Colossus or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But no.
Real quick, let me just add real quick. The wedding is not actually in number 50. The proposal was in number 50.
That's right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's almost like exploiting gay people, you know, to some extent. And maybe I'm just being oversensitive because, you know, we know people that are gay and we, you know, friends with them and everything and. I don't know. I don't know how Darren feels about it, but
oh my God, he's exploiting it the whole other direction. My God, don't worry about him.
You see so much of that crap, and yeah, I'm a cynic about it, and I don't think knowing James Robinson and how he does his business, I don't see him planning that as part of some big media thing later on. That's just the way he wanted to write the story. And having this alternate universe, that's a perfect way to do it, you know. So, but anyway, that's just my thoughts. I just considering the two people, the two writers that you know made a big deal about never working with DC again, and you see that, and you know all the crap that Marvel pulls, it just makes me kind of cynical. Are they really trying to just make that part of the story, you know, or are they doing it on purpose to boost sales, and that's what makes me a cynic. So that's all.
I think in Marvel's case, it is definitely a sales tool. I'm 100% convinced. I mean, this is the house that Stan built. So
he
Mr. Hype. I mean, everything about that hype, and he will. More power to him.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, DC's it's just. You know, like Mer said, mm-hmm. you know, still some of Marvel's thunder. I think that would have been one of those things where if it hadn't been for the wedding thing going on with North Star, we would have heard about it after the issue came out. And been like, oh my God, did you see that? That lip lock? And then, and that would have been, you know, the extent of it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but that they went a whole different, like they still would have played the hype game, but it would have been a whole different hype. It would have been the, can you believe that last page reveal? Can you believe that this, you know, like it would have been the surprise that they would have been hyping, whereas they decided to forego the surprise element because it looked like it was the right time to let that go.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. It does.
They could have played it either way.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
So.
Coulda, shoulda.
What else we got?
What else is coming out? You mentioned already the Before Watchmen. So.
Yeah, I like the first one. I'm a big Darwyn Cook fan, so, you know, that was a given that I was going to get that.
I was mighty impressed with it. The tone he wrote it. I mean, it's almost like he must have really thought hard about what he was writing in terms of, you know, he wrote it in the same tone that those little chapters were in Watchmen from the book.
Yes,
the original Night Owl wrote, sort of, you know, quiet, understated tone. You know, a little almost monotone at points, but that was exactly like if you go back and you pick up Watchmen and you read those chapters, it was the same feel to it.
Yeah, he must have really worked hard on that to get that right, get that tone right. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, I'm glad for it.
Yes, yeah, I mean, and. You know, despite all the, you know, they shouldn't touch it and blah, blah, blah. It's way past time for that. You know, I think that sat out there and, you know, they put the movie out and there's still stories to be told. And the before, you know, I usually don't like prequels, but that is what I'd like to see more of. And especially the Minutemen themselves, I always wanted to know more about them, so it works out good. So.
Oh, and the comedian scene, awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was.
So,
I'm still kind of curious. Sorry, go ahead.
No.
No, I'm kind of curious where the story's going. Like, it was a good... I mean, it was a chapter one, so it was a good introduction to everybody, but I don't know... I don't know what the series is going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, like I don't.
Well, more. I mean, a little of that stuff was kind of a rehash, too, in which they, you know, they did that for people that, God, they're the three or four people that haven't read Watchmen out there. you know, and I kind of think that's why they did that. But I think it's just going to give more detail of things. And, you know, he hasn't technically finished the book yet.
His take on Captain Metropolis totally went against what I thought that character was.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of interesting. I like that. You know, and that's what the Watchmen stuff's all about is, you know, the seedy underbelly of how, you know, they are. And he even put himself in a different light. Because he was doing it for the thrill, he even said, you know. But yeah, the Captain Metropolis thing that did surprise me. That really did.
So, yeah, and it just, you know, and that I mean it's getting to the characters we never got. We didn't know about Captain Metropolis. We didn't know about Silk Spectre beyond, you know, oh, she was a lesbian.
You mean Silhouette?
A Silhouette. You're right. I'm sorry. What did I say? Silk Spectre. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
Different character. And the what is his name? The moth guy. Not moth guy. The farm one.
I forget. I think it's Mothman, but I'm not positive.
They didn't name him in the
they just assumed that you knew. Yeah.
What the heck was the character's name? Murray, help me out here, man.
I think it's Mothman. I think.
But just the idea that he was scared. You're scared poopless about his own creation.
Yeah, and I remember he's the one that went insane.
Good for Darwin Cook on this, man.
They're setting it so up, far, you know.
Damn. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it read great. It really did. So let me see if I can find out that character's name, because that's gonna bug the crap out of me now.
It is Mothman.
It is Mothman? Okay.
It is, in fact, Mothman. I am looking at a wiki page which lists all the characters. Captain Metropolis, Hooded Justice.
Yeah, here we go.
Silhouette, Night Owl, Silk Spectre, Dollar Bill, and Mothman.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Okay, that's cool. It. Yeah. That's it. Alcoholic during the pressures. He's forced to be in a mental asylum.
I don't think he named him in that little
No, he yeah. didn't. He didn't.
So, anyhow.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board so far. Fingers crossed.
Yep. Yeah. Speaking the comedian.
God, the comedian scene was great.
Yeah, it was. It was creepy. But anyway.
Speaking of revisiting old creations, I've been desperately trying to read All-Star Squadron Showcase.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See that segue? You like that segue, man?
That was good.
That was very well
done. No, I should have got that when it came out. But I don't have it. I need to get that, because that's one bunch of stuff I never read any of.
Well, maybe as an uninitiated, you might enjoy it more than my reread of it. I'm fighting through it. I really am. I may send you my copy because I don't know if I'm going to finish this.
Oh, wow, dude, that's bad. Is it because it's black and white?
No, I'm a big fan of those. I have Showcases and Essentials all over the place where I've read them and I've given them away just because, you know, I think other people should read them.
Yeah.
And they're cheap. You know, you can get, you know, 25 issues for $15 of a comic. Sure, the color's missing and the paper quality is is newspaper quality or even less, but that's fine. That's what we grew up on. But this is...
Yeah,
it's just hard to read. It really is. It's so, you know, and this is from the guy who says we need previously boxes in every book. Just the idea. It just feels very forced all the time. And there's always the I am Sir Justin, the Shining Knight. You know, it seems like.
When was that written, dude?
It was written in the
80s.
Oh, they were all like that
before Crisis.
1981, 82, 83 is when this covers. All-Star Squadron 1 through 18 plus annual number 1. Mm-hmm. And also the introduction from Justice League 193. So, it's very inclusive. I mean, it's a huge book. It's got a lot of, you know, content in there. If you like Golden Age, it's got all your favorite Golden Age characters in there, et cetera, et cetera. And it was, you know, definitely a watershed book of its time. Everyone who was reading DC at the time was, you know, at least not everyone. Let me take that back, because Chris wasn't, but everyone else was.
Yeah, reading this. I was probably the only one that wasn't reading it.
No, and it spun out Infinity Incorporated. It gave us the only Earth 2 book at the time. And it was not even present day Earth 2. It was, you know, World War II Earth 2. It, you know, reintroduced, you know, Roy Thomas was able to take all of these, you know, D-level characters that nobody had ever heard of. I mean, Johnny Quick, Firebrand, Liberty Bell, Commander Steel. I mean, just characters that, these guys existed, really? Mm-hmm. These were real characters? And then ones we knew, you know, Hawkman featured pretty prominently at the beginning, as did Adam and Dr. Midnight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got a new Firebrand, which stuck. I mean, you don't get that very often where you get a brand new character that actually sticks. They usually pop for an issue or two and then gone. Because no one cares because there's so many new characters.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I only really read about those characters in the Who's Who after the crisis or during the crisis.
During the crisis, sure. And Firebrand was part of the original team that was gathered by the Monitor in crisis. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's very stilted and it's very hard to read. And I don't mind the art. I like the art. It's, who is it? It's, Rich Buckler.
Adrian Gonzalez, and Ordway is inking it all, right?
Ordway is, in fact, and I think he's still Jeremiah at that point.
I know, that was hilarious. First couple of issues, he was Jeremiah Ordway. I was like, what the heck?
And maybe in my mind, I'm remembering that it was all Ordway all the time, and clearly it wasn't. maybe there's also that factor. Though probably not. I mean,
sometimes with this series though, like it takes a while before they click, you know what I mean? Like, although this book has got like the first 20 issues or whatever. So, but maybe the heyday of the All-Star Squadron was after that.
Yeah.
Like once they started to introduce Infinity Incorporated. I'm not remembering the timeline very well, but that's when things started to really click together, you know?
Well, no, I think actually it starts to click when they get rid of the Justice Society, when it's just the quote unquote new characters, even Robot Man.
Mm-hmm.
When Hawkman and all the rest go off and join the military, and it's just the wannabes are now the main characters. And maybe I got to get to that point. I'm still slogging through the stuff where they go and, you know, try and get, Shira, whatever her last name is, the hot girl saved from the Mexican version of Hawkman himself. And it's just, and it had that cool stuff with Claire Dagaton at the beginning, which was, in my mind, it's like, oh my God, this was so cool. And in my reread of it, it was like, oh my God, this is so freaking boring. Sorry. Purists. Remember, I am a fan of this period, and 80% of the music on my iPod is from the 80s. It's
woohoo!
Exactly. This is my time. Yet, it ain't working for me. I don't know. But what? So maybe we'll get a package in the mail, Chris. I guess it's entirely possible.
Oh, okay. Well, sure, man.
And then, of course, as I glance through it, I notice that, they've got that Justice League crossover that they did in there, but it doesn't actually include the Justice League issues.
There's a whole bunch of comments on the Amazon page about that very thing.
It's like there's a cliffhanger on the All-Star Squadron one that will never get resolved because the Justice League showcases are nowhere near to this point. I mean, they're still back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
We're at least two or three collections away on Justice League before we even get to this crossover, if not more.
Yeah, that was totally a case where they really should have just thrown those two extra issues in and either bumped up the price or cut two other issues, like rather than going to 18 or 19, go to the end of the crossover and leave it there or something, because it's not a story that makes sense. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an ending. You just get two middle chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Or get rid of that dumb annual that they put in there. I mean, I never liked that.
Save the annual for the next one or not at all,
makes sense.
For those who don't know what I'm talking about, Justice League used to cross over with Justice Society every year, and they would shoehorn in a third team a lot of times, and in this case it was easy to shoehorn them in because they had their own series, so they made it a five-part story with three of the chapters being in Justice League and two of them being in All-Star Squadron, and none of the Justice League chapters are in this book. So as Murray noted, we've got these little, two middle chapters, but, chapters two and four of five in this story, which, yikes, come on. A lot of missing information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if you're not going to include the issues, at least include, like, throw in a recap page or something. Like, just something. Bring the readers up to speed, you know? But
throw me a bone, guys. Come on.
Right.
Throw me a freaking bone.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just Roy Thomas. Maybe his writing doesn't hold up.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, he is the go-to guy for Golden Age superhero stuff, or was, if I'm going to rephrase that, was. You know, I would say now it's probably, you know, James Robinson's probably taking up the mantle, or could if he wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
But, and he's, you know, he's also, you know, the guy, if you want to talk Golden Age trivia, you know, put him and Mark Waid on a panel together, and they could probably go for, you know, days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Talking about it. So, anyhow, it's just I'm sorry to say I'm not impressed with this. I'm gonna keep trying. I may just skip to the point where the Justice Society quits and goes off to war, and then we've got our real cast, the ones who were featured pretty prominently in the Golden Age miniseries as well. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. You know, it's got the cool Joe Kubert covers in there and stuff.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Mm-hmm. And they look great in black and white, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
He does some awesome black and white, and yay for that.
Cool.
It's awesome. So.
That's great.
So there's that.
Well, okay.
So there's that. Hell, I'll segue out one more time, but a really bad segue is I went to Disneyland a week and a half ago.
Oh, yeah. Tell us all about that.
It was awesome. Okay, I'm done. No, there was no, you know, okay. So people say that, you know, Marvel is all Disney-fied and they've sold out and yada, yada, yada. Well, there wasn't a single freaking Marvel thing for sale at Disneyland.
I was wondering about that.
Nothing. Not even a Captain America Shield t-shirt. It was, I expected at least a booth or something, but nothing there at all.
That's surprising. Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. I haven't looked into it. I was but I have been curious as to, you know, given how much money they could potentially make, why Disney wouldn't do that. You know, again, just a booth or a kiosk or something, but, I'm sure that there's some licensing agreement that they still have to work out with somebody somewhere at some place that, you know, for merchandising. But and when they get through it, I'm sure there will be a Marvel corner to Disneyland and Disney World and Euro Disney and Tokyo Disney and Lunar Disney, whatever. honestly, Disneyland, great place. We hadn't been there in 6 years. And fun. California Adventure, awesome place. So if you are in the West Coast and you have a ton of money to blow, that's the place to go. If you have kids. If you don't have kids, maybe.
Yeah. No, I've never been there.
Oh, then you have to go.
Yeah, I've never been
there.
Put
it on your bucket list, man.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
Add it to your bucket list.
Well, San Diego, I want to go to San Diego Comic-Con at least once.
I'd put that on your bucket list, too.
Somehow.
And there's some cool rides, and they do some really cool 3D effect rides, by the way, at Disneyland. There's a really sweet, cool Toy Story one where you go through, like, this old-fashioned, like, going on a boardwalk, the games you would play, like, at a carnival or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a whole thing where you're sitting in this car, and you're shooting things, and it's 3D'd out at you with the glasses. It's very neat.
Sweet.
Make the effort. And San Diego, yes, put that on your bucket list as well. That is a to-do for all comic fans at some point in their career.
Yes, I'm hoping sometime in the near future that I can start going to more cons. Current situations didn't allow that to happen, but that might be changing. So, anyway, it'll be vague for all the listeners, but they know what I'm talking about. what other thing I was going to add? Have you guys been watching that Young Justice cartoon?
Yes.
Crap, that is good.
It's very good. I'm not totally caught up, but what I've seen has been really good.
It is.
Are you into the second season yet, Murray?
I am.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
We just finished episode 5 yesterday, actually. So.
Wow, I just watched the... Because I usually TiVo them and then watch them, you know, after they're on. And I watched last night the latest one, and that that is just so cool. It really is. I wish they had a comic that out there of it, written by whoever's writing that. I know there was one issue.
They do. It's called Young Justice.
They do have them writing it.
The comic book is not. The comic book's not set 5 years later. The comic book is still set. No.
Comic is still way back in the early days.
But, there was an episode a couple weeks ago. It was written by Peter David. It was probably one of the best that they've had yet, I thought. But I might have to get that. But isn't that more kid oriented, or is it just a serious?
It's technically part of the young the youth line from DC. Mm-hmm. You know, not part of the DC universe proper, but it is. It can be read by adults, just like, you know, Tiny Titans. It's just pretty fun.
But that has to be, you know, right up there with Batman Beyond. It's even better than that because it's just so it's intense, and I just love it. It's great. Yep. Look forward to it every week.
It is a good one. I'm trying to remember the last one I watched. It was... Blue Beetle was in it, but that doesn't help because he's in all of them because he's awesome.
Mostly he is. Was it a Blue Beetle centric one?
Yes, it was the one where the kids are being kidnapped.
Okay,
so that's episode 5. So you're only one episode out. Actually, we're at the same point then.
Yeah,
actually, that thing with Bumblebee and Wonder Girl and Batgirl, that was great.
Oh, that was great.
Yes, I just wish Wonder Girl were the real Wonder Girl, not that blonde thing, but like Donna Troy, but...
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah,
that's okay. It was still awesome.
The series is taking on the feel of like Justice League Unlimited. It really is.
There was a lot of Nightwing in this latest episode, and I was glad to see that.
That was a great scene where he's, you know, all the chicks are sitting in the ship, and Batgirl's razzing him, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, there's no right way to answer that question, is there?
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Yes. Like the chop. He's like, yeah, okay, signing now.
But yeah, that's a great show. It really is.
It is. And they're bringing back Teen Titans Go.
Yes, I was just about to say that. So that'll be on that. Cool. Yeah. I love that. I always love that cartoon.
Yes.
I've never watched an episode of Teen Titans Go. So.
Well, it was in that, you know, silly style a little bit, which I was put off by it at first, but as I got to watch it, it was really cool. So, you know, it's that's good stuff.
Really good stuff. I have to see if I can find it out there somewhere on the ether.
Yes.
You know what? DC, there was an ad or something like that they have an app now where you can get a lot of that content on your iPad or whatever.
Yeah, I think I've got it. I haven't really looked at what they have on it, but yeah.
Quick, someone do the research.
Well, okay. I've got the DC Nation app, but I think it's just the comics, though.
Oh, okay, never mind then. That's a waste of a perfectly good app.
But, I think they're just separating it out. Yeah, DC Nation, here it is. But they have profiles of the characters, and they put Justice League Beyond is in here, too. So, but, yeah, I'm looking at it now. They're showing it's basically the comics based on the cartoons and Tiny Titans and everything else. But yeah, they got DC Nation secret files, so you can, you know, they're free little one-page things about the characters in that Young Justice comic. So,
well, there you go. See, there is a comic. Ta-da. Make time. Save up your shekels and buy a copy.
Yep. I might just have to do that.
You might. Yep. That's good for kids. That's one of the monthly comics that I get from my oldest is Young Justice.
Oh, and I just loaded up the Comicology app, and they're having a Darwin Cook sale right now.
Ooh.
Half off.
I can buy Darwin Cook. All right.
Yeah.
He'll draw for you. He'll cook for you. He'll make a martini.
Will he clean the grout out of my floors?
Probably not.
Damn him.
Damn him to hell.
You're turning. That's not cool. I paid for a Darwin Cook. I expect a full service. Darwin
Cook. Oh, but anyway, that's about all I got.
Me too.
I just real quick note, the other creator on Static Shock died. I saw that. It was a very sad story. Yeah, the other guy who the co-creator on Static Shock passed away.
Homeless.
Practically homeless. It was very sad.
Man, that's terrible.
He did this one page, apparently about a year or so ago, he did a one page biographical thing for Hero. And it was heartbreaking. I read it and I was like, oh my god, this is one of the saddest one pages of comics I've read in my entire life. And then he recently passed away from a heart attack.
Wow, that's terrible.
It is terrible. Really terrible. So support Hero, guys. Everybody out there, mm-hmm. throw in a buck to Hero. They do good work. They help these guys out who the industry has churned in and out and spit out for lesser jobs to go flip burgers rather than create comics.
Man, that's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I don't think he gets credit as the creator of Static Shock.
Mm-hmm.
That probably all goes to Dwayne McDuffie, but he did co-write a lot of those early issues.
Yeah. That's too bad.
But Hero has done work for others as well, and is it's a good organization that helps former creators that are not benefiting from the current financial boon of comic creators. You know, between people like the guys who do Ben 10 or any of the DC executives or Marvel executives or Brian Bendis or any of those guys who have seriously cool contracts going on. These other guys were screwed contractually, you know, and they signed it, you know, eyes wide open, but
most of the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, but the industry does not look after their own after they have left.
Mm-hmm.
So Hero is out there to assist those people. H-E-R-O. Look it up, or Chris will put a link on the show notes.
Yeah, I'll do that. Write that down.
Thank you, Chris. So there's that. And I'm sure there's other news, but that's, I'd like to end it on an up note, and, I blew it. Sorry.
Ah, that's all right.
My bad. I suck.
I'll go cry here in a minute and we'll be okay.
I'm spent.
Yeah, me too. I didn't get it. I slept too long this morning, and I was probably up a half hour before we started this.
All right.
So
I was too, but
I have to book too. I've got to drag the kid around. So
yeah, drag the kid around and protect yourself from further food poisoning.
Yes, rotten students.
I saw your little post on Facebook how you're out to get you.
Oh, they are the rats.
Yeah, I tell you. Gotta watch them.
Fired barbecue sauce, the little buggers.
Well, that might not kill you, but because that's usually a theme around this house is when I finally get around to like getting something out of the cabinet. Yeah, it's a year old.
Well, and that was the thing. This barbecue sauce was good. It was so good. Maybe the fact that it was like 2 years
fermented
due date was why it was so good, but
that was funny.
Murray never put together the fact that he had the runs for 3 weeks together with the
oh yeah, there you go. Why am I going to the bathroom all this time? Oh my god.
Yeah, there's a Vision.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, and good morning to all you people on a Monday morning. Hopefully you're not eating your bagel while you're listening to this.
I know we could end on an up note.
Yeah, there we go. There's an up note.
There you go.
Yes. So that's it for this week's episode. If you want to send us an email telling us how ridiculous we are or how great we are even, please.
Hey. Speaking of email, next week we'll do it. Robin, we'll get to you next week, promise.
We have an email from Robin?
Yeah. Am I the only one who got it? Oh, I'll forward it out.
How long ago was it? I think I remember one now that you mentioned it.
Like a week ago.
Okay, yeah, that's why. I get way too much email. But anyway, we'll do that. And let's see. Email podcast at talesfromthelongbox.com. And we have the new website over at talesfromthelongbox.com/the show. All dedicated to the podcast. That's it. Just the podcast. You can download episodes there. You can make comments on any of the episodes. Due to iTunes, I'm still waiting to get on the Comics Podcast Network. I sent them an email, I don't know, weeks ago, and nothing. If you want to give us a little, a tip for our, wonderful hilarity, please, by all means, there's a small donate button on there. You know, hey, just mentioning it, just saying. That's about it, really. Until next week, we will talk to you then.
See you later.
Awesome. All
right.
All right. I will catch you next week, guys.
All right. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right.
My kids.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.